And now it's time for the weather for the southeast of England. By the morning, we're going to have beautiful blue sky. There'll be some natural cloud, and the spraying should start today at about 7 a.m. So if you're up, you should be able to catch a normal sky with lovely blue. So like I said, by about 7 a.m. they're going to start the spraying, and if you're around, you will start to see the lines forming in the sky, as is normal now across the southeast of England. And of course, by about 11 o'clock, you'll see a lot of haze start to come in. You'll see the chaff and the chemtrails, the aluminium and barium, will start to come in over the southeast of England. It will start blocking out the sun, and by about lunchtime we should see a total whiteout, and by the evening, of course, the sky will totally be full of chemical crap.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
If life is a drug, then I've been taking some hard hits. Like, I'm trying to see how intense the sense of humor of God gets. But I'm dedicated, because I know spoken word can make the living come alive. And if I'm involved, we're going to require at least 5 30-plus single black mothers. Otherwise, it could be pointless. Because if this is God's work and the man on the microphone is anointed, then if you provide him with the conditions he requires, he might be able to use his art to make your heart drop into your lap. Move this room into a whole nother world. Take all them young cats that just came here to mingle and say something to make their brains tingle without drug the first. Because this is that spoken love that hurts. Every phrase is tasered to make your blood feel electric. But you can't just take a hit. The hit's got to take. This is that spoken word where you've got to swallow the smoke from the words. Open up your mind and let your brain float from the words. Think of something in your life you want to change and gain hope from the words. Because that's how the living come alive. And this is that bona fide. I made it with the dust off of old 78s and 45s. Codified it in the spoken word. Digitized it into ones and zeros and MP3'd it for your iPod. Heavy underground like the Earth's core. The crowd recognized the underground heavy from the tat that he wore. Allow me to introduce that energy that only inner God can produce. Come to spoken word, get your inner God seduced. Because what else can move your inner self outside yourself like the truth? But that's how the living come alive. And if you don't know what a juke joint is, there's a very good chance you ain't gonna understand what the point is. But this is underground, so they can't convince me to call myself black teed and show up to the mic every night wearing this black tee, because my style ain't so earthy, it's so unlike black tee. You might need to bring a mason jar of corn liquor with you. Pop off the lid, take a hard twig, let that corn liquor hit you. At the end of the night, meet us at the bar, cop yourself a large snifter. That's if you with the Mr. Picture this. Gordon Parks, James Van Der Zee. It's all right when I'm on the mic if you want to close your eyes and breathe life into your fantasy. But remember, ain't nobody here but me and you right now. And ain't no coincidences, I was sent here for you right now. To tell you, if you want to change your life, you better make it do whatever you want it to do right now. But I hope you want more from life than money, because money ain't hard to come by if money is the only thing that you absolutely care about. But you should know that life is just preparation for something more majestic, and spoken word is just life when it's presented at its most expressive. And the reason why poetry ain't bigger in this society is because this society is oppressive, and every oppressor since the dawn of time has tried to dead whatever art form made the living come alive.
This is the conspiratorial view of history as opposed to the accidental view, and it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
For the past 2 days, President Kennedy has been making a tour of missile and spacecraft installations in Alabama, Florida, Texas, and Missouri. His first stop yesterday came at Huntsville, Alabama, at the Space Flight Center named for General George Marshall. There, he talked with Dr. Werner von Braun, director of the center. He looked at a model of the Saturn C-5 rocket, the one scheduled to take American astronauts to the moon. Von Braun said, "Mr. President, this is the vehicle designed to fulfill your promise to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade." Then the German-born engineer said, "And by God, we'll do it." Later in the day yesterday, Mr. Kennedy watched from a bunker 2,000 feet away as the Huntsville experts test-fired the Saturn booster rocket, which will develop 1.5 million pounds of thrust. When he left, Mr. Kennedy said, "I am most impressed many of our hopes and aspirations for the conquest of space ride on this work. I am particularly appreciative of the many dedicated scientists and engineers who have selflessly continued their work, often despite personal sacrifices. The President then flew on to Cape Canaveral, where our next man in space flight is scheduled for September 22nd. Mr. Kennedy visited Pad 14, the area from which astronaut Walter Schirra will be shot into space via a Mercury Atlas rocket. Then he talked for 10 minutes with Schirra himself, took a look at the area where a Titan II missile is scheduled to be launched tomorrow in preparation for a future two-man Gemini spaceflight. Then, after a look at the Saturn launching area, Mr. Kennedy flew on to Houston, Texas. There, a crowd estimated at 200,000 lined the streets to cheer him. This morning, he spoke at the Rice University Stadium. The subject, Man's Conquest of Space. Here's how it sounded.
I am delighted to be here, and I'm particularly delighted to be here on this occasion. We meet at a college noted for knowledge, in a city noted for progress, in a state noted for strength, and we stand in need of all three. For we meet in an hour of change and challenge, in a decade of hope and fear, in an age of both knowledge and ignorance. The greater our knowledge increases, the greater our ignorance unfolds. Despite the striking fact that most of the scientists that the world has ever known are alive and working today, despite the fact that this nation's own scientific manpower is doubling every 12 years in a rate of growth more than three times that of our population as a whole, despite that, the vast stretches of the unknown and the unanswered and the unfinished still far outstrip our collective comprehension. No man can fully grasp how far and how fast we have come. But condense, if you will, the 50,000 years of man's recorded history in a time span of but a half a century. Stated in these terms, we know very little about the first 40 years, except at the end of them, advanced man had learned to use the skins of animals to cover them. Then about 10 years ago, under this standard, man emerged from his caves to construct other kinds of shelter. Only 5 years ago, man learned to write and use a cart with wheels. Christianity began less than 2 years ago. The printing press came this year. And then less than 2 months ago, during this whole 50-year span of human history, the steam engine provided a new source of power. Newton explored the meaning of gravity. Last month, electric lights and telephones and automobiles and airplanes became available. Only last week did we develop penicillin and television and nuclear power. And now, if America's new spacecraft succeeds in reaching Venus, we will have literally reached the stars before midnight tonight. This is a breathtaking pace, and such a pace cannot help but create new ills as it dispels old. New ignorance, new problems, new dangers. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are.
Yeah. B.O.B.
What's up? What's down?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are entering into the fifth dimension. And then I mentioned we gone.
Beyond these peons, another human like me, there will never be one. The planet that I'm from, I can't even
demons be gone. The stars is what I sleep on. The moon I put my feet on. The way my aura glows, you swear I made a neon. Cooler than the Freon, it's in your Dodge Neon. They say the future's now, to me it hasn't begun. Stay tuned to me and there will never be a rerun. So come and leave on my body, and as we come, you'll probably feel moist like the trees on the tropics. We gone, we out it. No, we don't need rockets. We hop up on the mothership and we gone, we sliding. We slipping through dimensions, we hyperspace gliding. Blasting through the atmosphere, frightening in the lightning. I know I'm out my mind, girl, but you know you like it. So hop up on my cosmic highway so we can ride.
It's time for Expedition 32 to hand over command to the new crew commander, Sunita Williams.
Expedition 32, Commander Gennady Padalka ceremonially hands over control of the International Space Station to Expedition 33's Sunny Williams.
Well, thank you, Gennady, and thank you, everybody. I think we're about ready to hand over. We have one more day as 32, and then we'll start 33 after the hatch closes tomorrow.
The pair were in the Destiny laboratory with their four crewmates for the traditional change of command ceremony. In what is her second space mission, Williams will live and work aboard the orbital laboratory until November.
Well, fresh about the sky, I'm like a meteorite. So in the studio, no, I don't need to go right. Man, I just came up in the game because y'all needed more light. So by the time I'm done, there ain't gonna be no more mic. And people ask me, Bob, what kind of language is that? Cause I may blast into the future, I may never come back. And I'ma leave with a 30,000 light year leap, headed to a distant planet called B.O.B. And then I'm gone, man, they not ignoring me. Taking off from the half-court Air Jordan. All systems go in 10 seconds, I'm orbiting. Hanging in the cosmos like a space ornament. Heat them up like a solar flare, oh yes, I bring the pain. Similar to an asteroid that's headed to your brain. My lane is something that they really cannot explain. They try to hold me down, but man, it's me they can't contain.
NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has taken on a second job. It's moonlighting as an astronomer. Last week, Curiosity outfitted its high-res camera with protective filters and took pictures of the Sun as Phobos, one of Mars's two small moons, sailed by. It was a tricky shoot. Phobos and its sister moon Deimos are closer to Mars than our moon is to Earth, so they fly across the sky really quickly. Curiosity wasn't alone, though. From the other side of Mars, the rover Opportunity is also trying to capture the eclipse on camera. But they're not just taking pretty pictures. The images should help scientists learn more about Mars's internal structure. Like the Earth's moon, Mars's moons have some gravitational pull that slightly change the planet's shape.
Go with me, I'll take you to my galaxy. I'm talking about Venus, Jupiter, Mars. And I'm saying, girl, let's ride all night. And I need you for this ship, girl, to take flight.
Romney apologizes to the nation's, quote, 150 million starving, filthy beggars. A report finds it's not okay to just start talking to people you don't know, and a munchtrosity is created in the Frito-Lay laboratory. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is still in hot water after a video leaked earlier this week by MotherJones.com showed him reading the GOP platform verbatim.
There are 47% who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them.
The incriminating footage, which features the candidate at a fundraiser, directly affirming the Republican Party's belief that Americans should not feel entitled to health care, food, and housing, has caused a firestorm of controversy, with many experts suspecting Romney may lose support for stating his party's core values. Following the widespread controversy over Romney's remarks, sources say the Republican nominee's campaign called in champion of the poor Paul Ryan for damage control, saying that Ryan was the first person they thought of to reconnect Romney with lower-class voters. Campaign officials said the modern-day Robin Hood of American politics had already reached out to his throngs of poor supporters to win them back onto the Republican side.
Whenever we're facing our hardest times, it's important for us to know there's someone like Paul Ryan in Washington, doggedly defending every blue-collar American to his last breath. I don't know what we'd do without him.
Local newborn Nathan Jameson surprised the world earlier this morning by irrevocably losing all faith in humanity after just 6 days. Though he's not yet developed the capacity for speech, spokespeople for the 6-day-old baby have confirmed he already knows that humans cannot be trusted and that most people lack self-awareness about their own destructive tendencies.
While most people need around 30 or 40 years to truly understand that the vast majority of humanity is shallow and irredeemable, baby Nathan's convinced that he has seen all that he needs to see. People have been nice and even brought him toys and presents. But the fact is, Nathan knows they're all full of shit.
And in this week's science report, botanists discover trees are all slowly trying to strangle each other. In other news, the GOP is secretly relieved they can finally get started on 2016.
If you're looking for change, you might try another place. Cause the candidates you're looking at are basically the same. There's one on the left and one on the right. Only difference the direction they are facing when they lie. It's a great big game and you are the pawn. Willing contender when you choose to play along. Well, don't be fooled, don't be forced to choose between two men that are controlled by the same machine.
Oh man, not another election. Why do we have to choose our leaders? Isn't that what we have the Supreme Court for?
If you're gonna vote, we'll need some photo ID.
But I lived here all my life.
Stopping all Americans from voting is for the protection of all Americans.
But I'm a 40-year-old white guy who didn't go to college and gets all his news from monitors at gas stations.
In you go.
Barack Obama, I don't know. I already got one wife telling me to eat healthy. Plus, he promised me death panels and Grandpa's still alive. Mitt Romney? I hear he wears magic underpants. I expect the leader of the free world to go commando. Plus, his horse totally choked at the Olympics. On the other hand, he did invent Obamacare.
Thank you for voting for Mitt Romney. You may now see his tax returns.
Wow, medical deduction for personality implant? He's got 6 wives, all named Ann. The government paid him taxes for 5 years! I've got to tell the press!
It's the same old story, truly it is. Another cast of characters pretend to give a shit about you and me. Or whoever votes there, in-game is obviously not what we were told. They want war and destruction, mass death and more. They'll call the population, taking vaccines door to door. A little poison in your water, a little poison in your food. But don't you worry, they said, it's good for you. Whoa, 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 whoa.
This country does not succeed when only a very few do well. You know, we can't move forward if we've got leaders who write off half the nation, call them a bunch of victims who'll never take responsibility for their lives. I don't see a lot of victims here today.
It's a brand new world that they're planning for. Transhumanist agendas, drugs and wars. You're a terrorist now. If you speak out, they'll try to keep you quiet. So they're will all work out. Don't talk out of turn. Don't question, don't think. The TSA's coming, the bomb test to train. So just sit back, there's nothing you can do. Rest assured, cause they know what's best for you.
Slogan, of course, is forward. I think forewarned is a better slogan for him. I mean, we know where it heads. We've seen this before. We can see it here. We can see it in Europe. We have to get America working again. We know how to make America work again. He doesn't.
In the private banks, we'll destroy our currency. We'll all use plastic cards kept with RFID. And all the cameras are there to keep you safe. They're watching all the time. They're listening.
Now, for some reason, my opponent got really excited. He rewrote his speech real quick. He stood up at a rally, proudly declared, "I'll get the job done from the inside." What kind of inside job is he talking about?
Now when November rolls around, just keep this in mind. You've always got a choice, so choose to decline. To pick a lesser evil, to choose from what you've got. With both sides the same, there's no side to get behind. So just stand together, don't take this anymore. Just keep on fighting in this information war. You aren't the only one you have to answer for. So just keep on fighting in this information war. Keep on fighting in this information war.
This November, send a message to Washington. Vote for nobody. Nobody is an honest politician. Nobody will keep his campaign promises. Nobody will listen to your concerns. Nobody will help the poor and unemployed. Nobody cares about you. Nobody has all the answers, and nobody will represent you. Make sure to let Washington know that you think nobody should run your life. Vote nobody, because if nobody wins, everybody wins. Paid for by the Coalition to Elect Nobody.
And we turn to a story we posted online earlier today. We've done extensive reporting on a set of drugs commonly known as bath salts. These street drugs have been on the rise in recent years and pose serious problems for law enforcement. They're packaged to look like common household products with names like Lady Bubbles or White Dove. But the chemicals in them and the high they produce can be devastating for lives and communities. Their effects can be stronger and longer lasting than other drugs like amphetamines and cocaine. Researchers are trying to understand how they work and how the chemistry behind them continues to change. Louis DeFelice is one of those researchers studying this new class of substances at Virginia Commonwealth University. And he joins me now from Richmond. Thank you for being with us. And let me just start by saying, when people hear the term bath salts, maybe they think of Epsom salts, which you would buy in a, at a pharmacy in a drugstore. But this is very different. Tell us what they are.
Well, you're right. It's very different than the name implies. It's a benign street name, I think, invented to make it sound harmless. These chemicals are very different and very dangerous than their name implies.
And how long have they been around?
Well, they became popular just years ago, at least in America. The drugs themselves have been around longer in Eastern Europe and in the UK. And the basic component of the drug, which is called cathinone, and the derivatives from cathinone, have been around hundreds and maybe even thousands of years. It's a naturally occurring substance from which bath salts are derived.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In Colorado today, prosecutors in the case against James Holmes abandoned their efforts to get a hold of a notebook that Holmes mailed to his psychiatrist. Holmes is the suspect in that movie theater massacre in July. Barry Peterson reports that Holmes appeared today with a whole new look.
Ballerinas must be crazy if they think they're going to be me, Honey Boo Boo Child. I'm super solid because I do patterns.
The charges and the
this is how James Holmes looked in his previous court appearances. Disheveled, long hair dyed orange, and inattentive to the point of almost seeming to fall asleep, as if he was dazed or on medication.
Bath salts.
But today, a whole different look and demeanor. His dark brown hair, close cropped, a beard and mustache, neatly trimmed. And he was alert, following the proceedings, at times even looking into the audience, as attorneys argued over access to the notebook he allegedly mailed to the University of Colorado. A SWAT team was called in when it was discovered in the school mailroom 4 days after the shooting.
That's what I said, booby trap!
It was addressed to university psychiatrist Dr. Lynn Fenton, who had treated Holmes while he was a student there. Sources say the notebook contains sketches and notes allegedly made by Holmes about an attack, eerily similar to the massacre at the Aurora Theater that killed 12 and wounded 58. The prosecution decision to withdraw demands to see the notebook was a surprise. They explained that a legal battle over the notebook could have delayed a trial for up to a year, and they expected to see it at a later date if defense lawyers claim Holmes was insane. I was in the courtroom for Holmes' first court appearance just after that shooting, and I got to tell you, Scott, the difference between what he looked like then and today was nothing short of stunning. I had to look twice to make sure I was seeing the same man. But because of the gag order, we have no idea what brought about this dramatic change.
Bath salts.
No! Stop it already!
Hi, everybody. Last week, without much fanfare, members of the House of Representatives banged a gavel, turned out the lights, and rushed home, declaring their work finished for now. If that frustrates you, it should, because their work isn't finished. See, when they skipped town, members of Congress left a whole bunch of proposals sitting on the table, actions that would create jobs, boost our economy, and strengthen middle-class security. These ideas have been around for months. The American people want to see them passed. But apparently, some members of Congress are more worried about their jobs and their paychecks this campaign season than they are about yours. Right now, if Congress had done the right thing, we would be on our way to having a Veterans Jobs Corps that helps returning heroes find work as cops.
And again?
That helps returning heroes find work as cops.
And again?
That helps returning heroes find work as cops.
Having some military training doesn't hurt if you want to go out and kill people.
Approaching me, she said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Or could you use a little company? But if you pay the right price, your evening will be nice, and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me, and this is what she said: oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back. Though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Wheelchair-bound man is dead after an officer opens fire. That officer says the man was waving something in a threatening manner. It turns out that man was holding a pen.
Andrew Horansky is in Southeast Houston with more on what happened early this morning. Andrew.
Vicente, it all started early this morning at that house across the street. It is a group home for men with medical disabilities. They come here when they're released from hospitals and they're under 24-hour supervision. This afternoon, I spoke with the home's manager. He told me three residents were living here and that one of them had a bad episode this morning. He identified the man as Brian Clunch, a man in his mid-40s with schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. He had been living here for more than a year. He said around 2:30 this morning, Clunch began demanding cigarettes and soda and became irate when a worker told him he'd have to wait for that. Eventually, that person called 911 and police arrived. Two officers went in. They say the suspect soon cornered one of them and ignored their orders, so the officer shot and killed him. However, there are some serious questions since it turns out Clunch was a wheelchair-bound double amputee. He had one leg and one arm and a pen in his hand.
All of a sudden, pow, 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 and he drops. You know, pow, 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 and he drops.
Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking down the street when I saw the shadow of a man creep out of sight. And then he swept up from behind, he put a gun up to my head, he made it clear he wasn't looking for a fight. He said, give me all you got, I want your money, not your life, but you try to make a move, I won't think twice. I told him, you can have my cash, but first you know I gotta ask, what made you wanna live this kind of life? He said, there ain't no rest for the wicked, money don't grow on trees. I got bills to pay, I got mouths to feed, there ain't nothing in this world for free. I know I can't slow down, I can't hold back, though you know I wish I could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
A shoplifting suspect dies at the Snohomish County Jail after fighting with jail staff. Everett police say the jail staff used a taser to subdue that man after he actively resisted last night. The 60-year-old man was put in an isolation room, and staff later found him in distress and performed CPR. Police were investigating the cause of death and say it's unclear if the jolt from that taser had anything to do with it.
And I was sitting in my house. The day was winding down and coming to an end. And so I turned to the TV and flipped it over to the news. And what I saw, I almost couldn't comprehend. I saw a priest, a man in cuffs. He'd taken money from the church. He stuffed his bank account with righteous dollar bills. But even still, I can't say much because I know we're all the same. Oh yes, we all still got to satisfy those thrills. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Now, you've probably heard a lot about Chicago and all the violence going on there. 9 dead again this weekend and 28 shot. But Chicago's not the only city experiencing this problem. Camden, New Jersey is still the second worst murder rate in the country. And what are they doing in response? By the end of 2012, they are going to lay off their entire police force. Insanity.
What the fuck?
Take a look at this Obama campaign video put out to show that the president's unbreakable stance to Israel.
When I touched my hand against the Western Wall and placed my prayer between its ancient stones, I thought of all the centuries that the children of Israel had longed to return to their ancient homeland. Because we understand the challenges Israel faces, I and my administration have made the security of Israel a priority. America's commitment and my commitment to Israel and Israel's security is unshakable. It is unshakable.
It's unshakable, he says. But you know what's even crazier than this fierce allegiance? The fact that according to Mitt Romney, Obama isn't supportive of Israel enough. Yep, apparently it's all a competition. Take a look at this.
I respect the right of Israel to defend itself, and we stand with Israel.
It is my firm conviction that the security of Israel is in the vital national security interest of the United States.
The right course is to stand behind our friends, to listen to them, and to let the entire world know that we will stay with them, and that we will support them and defend them.
So who wins, Obama or Romney? I have a better question. Who effing cares?
Yeah.
Hey, what's the problem here?
We were fighting over which one of us loved you more.
You were? Aw, well, go ahead.
You love him more.
No, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. No.
California now, where the filmmaker whose YouTube video sparked some of the protests in the Middle East is in hiding. Nakula Basile Nakula talked with investigators yesterday. Part of the questioning is believed to have centered on his probation from a previous bank fraud conviction. It's unknown where Nakula went after that interview. He told police that he would not return to his home in California. You can see it here. The FBI has been investigating threats against Nakula.
Thank you.
now because the German government's announced it will ban the American anti-Islam preacher from entering Germany. Chancellor Merkel has said that any application for a visa will be turned down if the Reverend Terry Jones took up an invitation from a far-right group to visit the country and address meetings. Well, he has been linked to the controversial film alleged to defame Prophet Muhammad. He's also best known, perhaps, for his plan some 2 years ago to burn copies of the Muslim holy book, the Quran, in public.
Let's move to Cairo, where life is getting back to normal after days of anti-American protests. But now it turns out not all of those protesters were there because of their anger with the U.S. and that anti-Muslim YouTube video. Many, turns out, were being paid to protest. That news comes from Egypt's prime minister. Paying people to protest is fairly common in Egypt.
Washington, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will be briefing members of Congress behind closed doors. They're sure to have questions about last week's attack that killed the American ambassador to Libya and three of his aides. Margaret Brennan is on Capitol Hill. Margaret?
Good morning to you, Charlie. Not a lot of detail today. The FBI still hasn't made it to the crime scene in Benghazi, but Secretary Clinton will give a classified account of the attacks on the U.S. consulate in Libya. Witnesses tell CBS News that there was never an anti-American protest outside of the consulate. Instead, they say it came under planned attack. That is in direct contradiction to the administration's account of the incident. It comes at a time when there are calls for more information from Capitol Hill and complaints that the administration has not been forthright.
Misplaced outrage over riots in the Muslim world, that is the topic of tonight's byline. Let me put this to you bluntly. You are being lied to about the cause of the attacks on American and now German embassies in Muslim countries. The consensus media wants you to believe that this is about a YouTube video, despite plenty of evidence to the contrary. First off, there's the idea that there can be two spontaneous riots occurring in two different cities in two different countries on the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. It's all spontaneous. That alone should tell you that the attacks were planned and coordinated and not the work of a spontaneous, angry mob. There are credible reports in Libya that local security forces directed those attacking the consulate, including those with jihadist ties, to the location of Ambassador Christopher Stevens. The Independent, a British newspaper, has a report that American intelligence officials believe the attack in Libya was actually retaliation against the United States for a drone strike last June that took out Mohammed Hassan Qaid, an Al-Qaeda operative originally from Libya. The riots in Egypt that saw the American flag taken down and the embassy's security breached? Well, that was all about freeing another al-Qaeda operative, the blind sheikh. How do we know this? The organizers, including the brother of the current leader of al-Qaeda, told CNN's veteran foreign correspondent Nick Robertson all about it in an interview the morning of September 11th.
Libyan authorities have arrested about 50 people in connection with that deadly attack on the U.S. consulate earlier this week. They say some of the suspects came from outside the country and have links to al-Qaeda. In a separate move, Canada kept the doors to its embassies in Libya, Sudan, and Egypt shut today. The decision in response to anger over a movie trailer that insults Islam. Our Middle East correspondent Sasha Petrasik is in Cairo with the latest. Sasha?
Wendy, the protests continued today. They weren't as big or as violent as they were a few days ago, with one exception.
In Pakistan, thousands protested and clashed with police, angry at the video mocking Muhammad. This mob tried unsuccessfully to break into the U.S. consulate in Karachi. In many other places, though, including London, the aim was not to lash out, but to speak out, forcefully but peacefully.
We say no. You cannot expect to insult deeply held beliefs and not expect a response.
Even the Pope had some words of advice. He was in Lebanon, a country that's witnessed the violence between Muslims and Christians.
Je prie Dieu pour le Liban.
I pray to God, he said, that Lebanon can permit the plurality of religious traditions and not listen to the voices of those who would prevent it. The militant Islamic group Hezbollah has called for a nationwide protest tomorrow. In the U.S., there were conflicting attempts to explain the week's violence, how the country's ambassador to Libya and three other Americans ended up dead in an attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. Initially, U.S. officials had suggested al-Qaeda was involved.
But soon after that spontaneous protest began outside of our consulate in Benghazi.
Today, Susan Rice, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, said Washington now thinks it was just a protest that got out of hand.
We do not have information at present that leads us to conclude that this was premeditated or pre-planned.
I have two words for you.
Predator drones.
You will never see it coming.
You think I'm joking?
My son's wearing a t-shirt that says proud graduate of the Osama bin Laden terrorist training camp, and he's got exploding underwear and he's getting ready to fly to Detroit.
Hello.
was a seemingly inconsequential moment from a soccer game between Iran and Saudi Arabia. This player for the Iranian team notices something on the field. He picks it up, tosses it aside, and then a moment later, it explodes. No one knows exactly what it was, except that it could have done real damage had it gone a bit differently.
عدد كلام الهوى وحشتني من كل يوم 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 من كل يوم تعال نخلي الحلم حقيقة تعال 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 نعوض كل دقيقة تعال 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 نخلي الحلم حقيقة 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 يابا.
A deadly game of cat and mouse, although it can be hard to tell who is cat and who is mouse. As Syrian government warplanes fly overhead, rebels take pot shots with aging anti-aircraft guns strapped to the back of trucks. But they say these guns are useless if their target flies above a certain altitude. Nevertheless, anti-government freedom fighters claim they downed one enemy fighter over the weekend.
God helped us, and we brought down a MiG warplane. So many groups took part in the attack. Most of the brigades in the area participated in this operation.
In this unverified footage, rebels appear to have surrounded a military building near the town of Arum. This video, uploaded to a social media website, claims to show an attack on the headquarters of Regiment 46 on the outskirts of Aleppo.
Let's hear it. Why is the Arab world so easily offended?
I have two words for you.
Predator drones.
You will never see it coming.
You think I'm joking?
That's not even funny.
Zero. So this is where the first guy got AIDS.
Peter, this is the site of the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Oh, so Saddam Hussein did this?
No.
The Iraqi army?
No.
Some guys from Iraq?
No.
That one lady who visited Iraq that one time?
No, Peter, Iraq had nothing to do with this. It was a bunch of Saudi Arabians, Lebanese, and Egyptians financed by a Saudi Arabian guy living in Afghanistan and sheltered by Pakistanis.
So you're saying we need to invade Iran?
Why did the United States attack Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Yemen? Why are U.S. operatives helping to destabilize Syria? And why is the United States government so intent on taking down Iran, in spite of the fact that Iran has not attacked any country since 1798? And what's next? What are we headed for? When you look at the current trajectory that we're on, it doesn't make any sense at all if you evaluate it based on what we're taught in school. And it doesn't make any sense if you base your worldview on the propaganda that the mainstream media tries to pass off as news. But it makes perfect sense once you know the real motives of the powers that be. In order to understand those motives, we first have to take a look at history. In 1945, the Bretton Woods Agreement established the dollar as the world reserve currency, which meant that international commodities were priced in dollars. The agreement, which gave the United States a distinct financial advantage, was made under the condition that those dollars would remain redeemable for gold at a consistent rate of $35 per ounce. The United States promised not to print very much money, but this was on the honor system, because the Federal Reserve refused to allow any audits or supervision of its printing presses. In the years leading up to 1970, expenditures in the Vietnam War made it clear to many countries that the U.S. was printing far more money than it had in gold. And in response, they began to ask for their gold back. This, of course, set off a rapid decline in the value of the dollar. The situation climaxed in 1971 when France attempted to withdraw its gold and Nixon refused. On August 15th, he made the following announcement.
I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States.
This was obviously not a temporary suspension, as he claimed, but rather a permanent default. And for the rest of the world who had entrusted the United States with their gold, it was outright theft. In 1973, President Nixon asked King Faisal of Saudi Arabia to accept only U.S. dollars as payment for oil and to invest any excess profits in U.S. Treasury bonds, notes, and bills. In return, Nixon offered military protection for Saudi oil fields. The same offer was extended to each of the world's key oil-producing countries, and by 1975, every member of OPEC had agreed to only sell their oil in U.S. dollars. The act of moving the dollar off of gold and tying it to foreign oil instantly forced every oil-importing country in the world to start maintaining a constant supply of Federal Reserve paper. And in order to get that paper, they would have to send real physical goods to America. This was the birth of the petrodollar. Paper went out, everything America needed came in, and the United States got very, very rich as a result. It was the largest financial con in recorded history. The arms race of the Cold War was a game of poker. Military expenditures were the chips, and the U.S. had an endless supply of chips. With the petrodollar under its belt, it was able to raise the stakes higher and higher, outspending every other country on the planet, until eventually U.S. military expenditures surpassed that of all other nations in the world combined. The Soviet Union never had a chance. The collapse of the Communist bloc in 1991 removed the last counterbalance to American military might. The United States was now an undisputed superpower with no rival. Many hoped that this would mark the beginning of a new era of peace and stability. Unfortunately, there were those in high places who had other ideas. Within that same year, the U.S. invaded Iraq in the first Gulf War. And after crushing the Iraqi military and destroying their infrastructure, including water purification plants and hospitals, crippling sanctions were imposed which prevented that infrastructure from being rebuilt. These sanctions, which were initiated by Bush Sr. and sustained throughout the entire Clinton administration, lasted for over a decade and were estimated to have killed over 500,000 children. The Clinton administration was fully aware of these figures.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And, you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
Ms. Albright, what exactly was it that was worth killing 500,000 kids for? In November of 2000, Iraq began selling its oil exclusively in euros. This was a direct attack on the dollar and on U.S. financial dominance, and it wasn't going to be tolerated. In response, the U.S. government, with the assistance of the mainstream media, began to build up a massive propaganda campaign claiming that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and was planning to use them. In 2003, the U.S. invaded, and once they had control of the country, oil sales were immediately switched back to dollars. This is particularly notable due to the fact that switching back to the dollar meant a 15 to 20% loss in revenue due to the euro's higher value. It doesn't make any sense at all unless you take the petrodollar into account.
So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper. He said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Let's take a look at the events of the past decade and see if you see a pattern. In Libya, Gaddafi was in the process of organizing a bloc of African countries to create a gold-based currency called the dinar, which they intended to use to replace the dollar in that region. US and NATO forces helped destabilize and topple the Libyan government in 2011, and after taking control of the region, US armed rebels executed Gaddafi in cold blood and immediately set up the Libyan Central Bank. Iran has been actively campaigning to pull oil sales off of the dollar for some time now, and it has recently secured agreements to begin trading its oil in exchange for gold. In response, the US government, with mainstream media assistance, has been attempting to build international support for military strikes on the pretext of preventing Iran from building a nuclear weapon. In the meantime, they established sanctions which US officials openly admit are aimed at causing a collapse of the Iranian economy. Syria is Iran's closest ally, and they are bound by mutual defense agreements. The country is currently in the process of being destabilized with covert assistance from NATO. And though Russia and China have warned the United States not to get involved, the White House has made statements within the past month indicating that they are considering military intervention. It should be clear that military intervention in Syria and Iran isn't being considered. It's a foregone conclusion, just as it was in Iraq and Libya. The U.S. is actively working to create the context which gives them the diplomatic cover to do what they already have planned. The motive for these invasions and covert actions becomes clear when we look at them in their full context and connect the dots. Those who control the United States understand that even if a few countries begin to sell their oil in another currency, it will set off a chain reaction and the dollar will collapse. They understand that there is absolutely nothing else holding up the value of the dollar at this point, and so does the rest of the world. But rather than accepting the fact that the dollar is nearing the end of its lifespan, the powers that be have made a calculated gambit. They have decided to use the brute force of the US military to crush each and every resistant state in the Middle East and Africa. That in itself would be bad enough, but what you need to understand is that this is not going to end with Iran. China and Russia have stated publicly and on no uncertain terms that they will not tolerate an attack on Iran or Syria. Iran is one of their key allies, one of the last independent oil producers in the region. And they understand that if Iran falls, then they will have no way to escape the dollar without going to war. And yet the United States is pushing forward in spite of the warnings. What we are witnessing here is a trajectory that leads straight to the unthinkable. It's a trajectory that was mapped out years ago in full awareness of the human consequences. But who was it that put us on this course? What kind of psychopath is willing to intentionally set off a global conflict that will lead to millions of deaths just to protect the value of a paper currency? It obviously isn't the president. The decision to invade Libya, Syria, and Iran was made long before Obama had risen to the national spotlight. And yet, he's carrying out his duty just like the puppets that preceded him. So who is it that pulls the strings? Often the best answer to questions like this are found by asking another question. Qui bono? Who benefits? Obviously those who have the power to print the dollar out of thin air have the most to lose if the dollar were to fall. And since 1913, that power has been held by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a private entity owned by a conglomerate of the most powerful banks in the world. And the men who control those banks are the ones who pull the strings. To them, this is just a game. Your life and the lives of those you love are just pawns on their chessboard. And like a spoiled 4-year-old who tips the board onto the floor when they start to lose, the powers that be are willing to start World War III to keep control of the global financial system. Remember that when these wars extend and accelerate. Remember that when your son or your neighbor's son comes back home in a flag-draped coffin. Remember that when they point the finger at the new boogeyman. Because the madmen who are running this show will take this as far as you allow them to.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Was Jesus actually married? According to Harvard researchers, it's entirely possible. Professor Karen King unveiled a 1.5 by 3 inch piece of paper, like material, dated between the 2nd and 4th century, which she says contains a text about Jesus. On it, King claims it refers to Mary as his wife. Christian tradition has long held that Jesus was unmarried, even though there was no reliable historical evidence to support that.
Probably in the late 2nd century,
The question was first raised among Christians. And some Christians were saying Jesus was not married and therefore Christians should be remain celibate or should be celibate. But other Christians apparently were able to speak about Jesus having a wife.
Other scholars have said the writing does not appear to be authentic.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.